Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 190, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and helps the podcast keep on going. With me is my co-host, Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up? What's going on, everybody?
What is today?
It's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday, right after the holiday. What was it? Labor Day.
It was.
I never observe holidays, so I don't really.
Like, why not?
I never know what's going on. But I guess it was a long weekend for most people.
It was.
And it, you know, it means it's like the end of summer, I guess.
I mean, technically not. For most people, though, like kind of, yeah, like all the kids, I think, are back to school now. I think technically every summer doesn't end for a little while here.
Yeah. But like, I mean, if you think about it, it's like getting into, you know, September, October. For us, that means like a lot of new products, which is kind of exciting. So
yeah,
that's something to definitely look forward to. But let's just jump into our reviews this week. And starting things off, we have another X570 motherboard. And this one comes from Asus, and it's their Prime X570 Pro. Their Prime line is basically like their... has everything you need without everything that you don't need or want. It's just a good overall board. As far as like X570 features, you're getting PCI Express 4.0, dual PCI Express 4.0 M.2 slots. One has the integrated heatsink, the other does not. You're getting USB 3.2 Gen 2. It's just a good board. You know, the Prime series is basically a board for everybody when, you know, Strix and ROG is more gamer focused and things like that. Whereas like, I always call the Prime series like what you need to get going, or like if you're a first time builder, like I really suggest this series because it's not crazy overpriced and it gives you everything that you need. And a lot of times, especially the Strix boards, are based off the same like PCB layout as this. So you're essentially getting the same features, and like you might not get one feature that's on the Strix board, but you're paying a lot less. So
yeah, it's their base. You don't want to really say entry level, but it's like their basic line, but that doesn't mean that like you're not getting the full features. And it's always been that way. They haven't always called it the Prime line, but they've, I think it was the Deluxe line before,
and they called it like,
various
there was
things.
Yeah, I think they called it like A. Like I remember reviewing like a Z97A board, which is essentially the same thing as this. Right. You know, that might have been called Deluxe line at the time. I don't remember. But yeah, like in a lot of times, especially now as we, you know, continue along through different chipsets, a lot of features that were on ROG boards have made their way down to these boards, which is nice to see. Like this has the integrated IO shield, which may not seem like a big deal, but if you do a lot of installs like I do in cases, like having the shield as part of the motherboard, like it just saves you time and hassle and cutting your fingers.
It's not a big deal until it is a big deal, and that's when you forget to install it.
Yeah, or when you forget to install it, which when you're completely done with the build and then you're like, oh crap.
And then you like consider every time not installing it, but that's really not an option. So you
Or you end up losing
down.
It. Yeah, there's a lot of times where I've like lost them. I'm like, where is it? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Not
only that,
so,
but
yeah,
it looks
so
better. It looks better with those new shields too. So.
Yeah, and it's like a nice shield. It's not just like plain steel. Like, I guess what is that? Aluminum steel? Yeah. I think it's crappy steel.
It's probably steel.
It has like a nice little cover on it that makes it look nice and makes it match with the rest of the board. You do get an IO cover as well with RGB lighting. The RGB lighting on this board isn't anything to write home about, and I actually like that for like, you know, ROG is like RGB in your face and all this crazy stuff. This is like more like more chill, like more relaxed.
More adult-like,
which I like too. It's just a good overall board. The only thing I would say that's missing or might be missing on this board is Wi-Fi. Most of us plug in. I think almost all of us plug in, but other boards that are, you know, $20 to $30 more expensive did come with Wi-Fi 6, so that's something that you're not going to get with this board. And the only other thing, which I think you might have an issue with this because you're big on security, is that when you install Windows, it will automatically ask you to download Armory Crate, which is like their companion software that downloads all the drivers and everything. Like it automatically does it.
You can't opt out.
You can opt out in the BIOS, but it's not hidden in the BIOS, but it's...
They definitely want you to do their thing, yeah.
Yeah, which I think, for me, like, it doesn't bother me, but I think it's good for beginners because, you know, I'm used to, you know, going, downloading all the drivers, downloading all the utilities, like, I'm used to doing that. But for a beginner, they have this piece of software that does everything for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of nice because it makes it immediately available. Like, you used to bust out the install CD, you know, like, years ago.
Yeah.
But I almost wonder if they should include an install USB now instead. But
I've wondered why we haven't made it to that point, because this comes with a CD, but, I mean, who is using CD drives?
It's got to be more expensive to, like, get a CD written than, at this point, than to buy a super cheap USB, because those things are a dime a dozen now.
Yeah, so I still don't know why we haven't moved in that direction yet.
Right.
That just should be a thing by now. Yeah. I think they're just going to end up doing it with this. So, like, you know, when you connect to the internet, it's going to download that.
Yeah. It's kind of presumptuous, you know. a little presumptuous that you have the internet, though, because that's not always an option when you're for a lot of first time builders, especially, like, you might not have internet available where you're at.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree.
I mean, I suppose it's going to work without it. So, I guess that's not a huge deal.
I think, like, for some people, they might think that is, like, I don't know, encroaching on their rights or something.
Well, you just don't. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I'm on that, in that same line. I'm usually in that same line of thought, in that I don't, like, give me the choice. I want to choose what I want to choose, and I don't want to be forced into anything. So.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the companion software Armory Suite is great. It's new. It has Aura Sync for RGB built into it and a couple other things. But still, for, like, overclocking and system tuning and fan tuning, you have AI Suite 3, which has been out since at least 2014. I look back in my reviews to figure out when that came out. It's the same software. So it's a little dated, especially for Asus. I would hope that maybe Armory Crate becomes, like, the entire package. I don't know if they're working towards that. That's the only other thing I could really say bad about this board. But overall, like, the board, hardware-wise, it's great. It's going to have everything that you want. It only has 6 SATA ports, which, again, with the rise of M.2, I don't think it's a big deal. But the chipset does support 8, so you're only getting 6. Mm. But, again, I really don't, like, again, for, like, it's not super entry level. It's still $250 for this board, which isn't cheap. Yeah. But the X570 now, you gotta, you know, or it's $239. It initially launched at $250. So I think, like, if you want Wi-Fi, there are other boards out there. But if you're looking for a good, solid board, this is it. You know, the results were pretty much the same as far as testing. Overclocking was pretty much the same as all of our other X570 boards as well. Overclocking on Ryzen 3000 series isn't great either, which we'll get into a little bit later in the podcast. So, like I said, it's a good board. If you know the Prime series, you know these boards. And like I said, I really recommend these boards for a lot of first-time buyers, because ROG boards, or even, I mean, any of the other lines, the gaming lines, enthusiast lines from other companies, are far more expensive, and they have a lot of features you just won't use. So just keep that in mind. And again, you can put that money you save towards better components, RGB memory, M.2 drives, things like that. So
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so, and then our other two reviews this week, we'll talk about them really quickly, and then we'll have Ryan tell you about them because they're his reviews. He first reviewed a mini PC from Azul, and it's their Byte 3. It's basically a fanless mini PC, basically, like, either somebody who's doing, I guess you would say, not that much in-depth tasks, like web browsing, just like a family computer this could be used at, or it could be used for a streaming machine that's a lot more powerful than, say, like a streaming stick, where you could, you know, do some light gaming on it, you can do some other stuff. It's just, you know, you can do a lot more than, say, you could with a streaming stick. So he has that for us, and then he also has the MXL APS podcasting bundle, and the bundle is actually great if you're looking to get into podcasting or even streaming. It comes with everything you need to basically record professional audio. You get the mic, you get a mic arm, and you get an XLR to USB adapter. So you don't need a which I use is a I don't even USB or
a DAC.
DAC. Like I use a DAC. But you don't even need that. It comes with like a little adapter. And Ryan had told me, which I'm sure he'll tell you when we switch over to him, but he told me this is the best mic out of all the mics that he's reviewed, and he's reviewed a handful so far this year. So he really enjoyed this mic. The bundle is a little expensive, but I think the quality of the mic, like he said, and the arm that you get and everything, he said it's worth the money. So definitely check those reviews out, and we'll go over to Ryan and I'll tell you a little bit more about them.
So the Byte Free from Azul is a fanless mini desktop PC. It's a really small, compact computer, as the name implies, and it's kind of designed for some basic computing needs. Nothing super hardcore, no hardcore gaming, no really intense content creation, but just basic day-to-day tasks, things like surfing web, checking email, doing some office tasks like word processing, spreadsheets, things like that. And there's multiple specification options for the Byte 3, and those are available on Azul's website. There's some drop downs so that you can kind of configure your system however you'd like it with the options available. And the review sample we got included a Intel Apollo Lake J3455. That's a quad core processor there. It's only a 10 watt part. And like the name implies, it is a fanless system, so there's only passive cooling used on this system, so you're not going to get any system noise from this, which is actually a really nice feature of the Byte 3. You have some operating system options. Our test system came with Windows 10 Pro. You have some RAM specifications available. Ours was configured with 4 gigabytes, and for storage, we had 32 gigs of eMMC flash. There's also dual band 2.4 and 5 gigahertz wireless, Intel integrated graphics. Those are the HD500 that are built into that processor. Gigabit Ethernet is available. There's Bluetooth, HDMI, VGA. The HDMI is actually capable of 4K at 60 FPS. You got a couple USB 3 ports, USB 2, a single Type C port, which is nice. Also an SD card slot. And then there's also a M.2 slot. It's a 2280 sized. It is SATA only, so no NVMe here. And then also room for a 2.5-inch drive in there as well. So you've actually got some nice storage expansion options, which is actually pretty nice, because one thing I did run into when utilizing the system is that 32 gigabytes of system storage gets filled up pretty quickly. You get Windows loaded on there, get some updates ran and a couple applications, and you don't have room for a whole lot of applications. So I definitely recommend looking into some additional storage for this system if you go with the 32 gig size, or the 64 gig option is there, which is going to give you a little more breathing room. But either way, you'll definitely probably end up looking to add some additional storage to this system. There's also a 3.5 millimeter audio jack. And really the system's pretty nice. It's got some nice packaging. The design of it is really nice. Azul's not a company that I had any familiarity with, so when this showed up, I didn't actually know what to expect, but I was really surprised and pleasantly surprised at the build quality of this system. It also came with a infrared remote control with some basic controls available on it, so you can control the system with it, and I'll kind of talk about the remote a little more in just a second. So there is an IR receiver on the front of this system as well. The bottom unscrews and gives you access to the internals of the system. You've got the SATA and power already wired in for you, so you just need to slap a drive in there if you'd like. And then the remote that comes with the system, like I said, is you know, pretty basic. It's got some navigation, a home button. It'll power the system on, give you some very basic commands. But Azul also makes their Link multifunction remote control. And this thing is really nice. They shipped it with the system, and it's a two-sided remote that on the top side has some very basic, again, navigation, you know, your but it does offer mouse functionality. It's got a left and right mouse button to it, a Windows button. You can utilize, you can turn it to infrared mode to control your devices outside of the system. So things like a TV, stereo receiver, soundbar, things like that. It also has a button to pull up an on-screen keyboard. But on the backside of the remote is a full QWERTY keyboard. So you can actually log into the system, do some basic typing with this remote as well. It is illuminated, which is really nice. So if you're, you know, watching a movie or using the system in the dark, you press a button on the side of the remote and the buttons have a blue glow to them. And the remote is smart enough to know which side is facing up. So if you have the front facing up, only the front side lights up. You flip the remote over and hit the light button, and it lights up the other side, which I thought was really cool. This also functions as kind of a gyroscopic mouse, so you can use the left and right mouse buttons, but you kind of use it like a Wiimote to control the mouse cursor. So I thought that was really nice and was a cool addition to this review, so definitely check that out. I went over some of the specifications of the system here. We did some just general overall system testing. Nothing to write home about. We ran it through PCMark, Passmark, Cinebench, did some testing of the storage with Crystal Diskmark, even ran 3DMark on it. Like I said, you're not going to be doing any hardcore gaming on this. Maybe some basic browser-based games, maybe some Flash games, things like that. But you're not going to be playing the latest and greatest AAA titles by any means. However, this system did work pretty well with 4K content and HD content. We played some locally stored content from the system itself and then also streamed some 4K content from our Plex server here on the network, both wired and wireless connections, and had no issues at all. The content was nice and smooth, no hiccuping or anything like that. So I was actually really pleasantly surprised at the power that this system was able to give us. So definitely a cool little system. Again, doesn't take up a whole lot of power. 10 watt processor in there. Doesn't put out any noise because there's no fan to the system. It's a solid state storage, so you're not going to get any disk sounds there. So definitely check it out. Kind of a cool little media player, small PC, you know, maybe go in a kitchen or in a little office nook somewhere. All sorts of options for this thing. And the actual, the Link remote that they sent along with it to check out was pretty cool too. The remote itself, I believe, is a $30 part, which you can find out on Amazon. Yeah, $30. And the system as we had it configured from Azul was $240. So go ahead and take a look at that. I also took a look at the MXL APS podcasting bundle. This is a product that's designed to get you into podcasting, obviously, as the name implies. And it comes with a microphone arm and stand, and an audio interface to go from XLR to USB. Now, the microphone we'll start off with here is a cardioid-style microphone, and it is really pretty basic. There are no dials, no volume knobs, no gain settings on the microphone itself. Just a basic solid metal body. Very, very robust. The microphone's pretty heavy. Very solid, very good quality build. And just a single XLR connection on the bottom of the microphone. There's also a microphone pop filter that can be added or removed to the microphone. And we are actually recording this audio clip right here on the whole APS bundle. So we've got the microphone in use as well as the audio interface. Included with the microphone is an adapter to attach it to the included stand with the kit and the microphone arm. The really nice thing about the microphone arm is that it comes with an XLR cable already ran through the body of the arm. And I say that's a plus, but it's also maybe a negative. If you have a certain brand or type of XLR cable that you like to use, you're going to have to essentially cut this cable out and pull it through the body if you don't want to utilize this cable. Now, we didn't have any issues with this cable. It seems to be a decent quality, and it's got a good amount of length to it as well. So it's really pretty versatile. But if you have a preference For a different type of cable. That's something to note there. But really, this is designed for the beginner. So having that cable ran through the arm itself is a really nice feature. You don't have to worry about attaching the cable to the arm itself with Velcro or zip ties or something, and then it getting in the way or it's, you know, pinched in the hinge there. Everything is ran through the arm nicely. Speaking of the arm, it's a pretty standard microphone arm. It utilizes springs for its tension there, so has up down rotation, everything you would expect in a pretty standard microphone arm. There's a couple thumb screws to adjust the tightness and keep things in place once you get it configured how you'd like. And then last but not least, we have the audio interface that goes from the XLR cable to USB so that you can plug this into your computer. It's kind of, I don't want to call it a handheld because you're not going to hold it in your hand, but the MicMate Pro has a gain knob and a headphone listening volume as well. So there's a couple connections on the MicMate Pro. Towards the top, you have your XLR connection that connects to your microphone cable. And then at the bottom, you have a USB connection as well as a headphone jack. So if you want to listen to that audio coming straight from the microphone, you plug your headphones in there and then you can control the volume there with the volume knob. The USB power also provides the 48 volt phantom power for the XLR microphone, so you don't have any external power. You just have the single USB cable, which provides power and audio for the system. And I've really been impressed with the sound quality of this kit. Now, I've reviewed a couple microphones recently, and they are definitely an improvement over what you find in a typical headset microphone, a gaming headset microphone. Those headset mics just can't produce all the lows and the clarity that you'll get from a standalone microphone. This microphone here, though, has really been impressive, and I'm really happy to have reviewed it. I think it produces some really good sounds. So definitely check this kit out if you're looking to maybe get into some podcasting or game streaming. This has everything you need to get started. It does have a retail price of right around $300, but by the time you've added in a pretty decent microphone, an audio interface to go from your PC to the microphone, and your cabling and the arm, you're probably going to be pretty close to that. And these are all paired together to work seamlessly with each other. Really recommend it. We gave it an 8 out of 10. So go ahead and check out the MXL APS podcasting bundle if it's up your alley.
All right, and over to our video this week. And I did a video on the review that we published last week, which was the MSI RX 5700 XT Evoke OC. Basically, one of the most hype, 5700 XTs out there so far. It's a good card. It's a little loud, but I did a video on it to kind of give you. Like I said, a lot of people enjoy video content, so we put the video out there. It has all the graphs, it has everything, which takes me forever to make. For graphs for video take forever, but yeah, that's all in there. So if you want a closer look at that graphics card, definitely check out that video. And then we go to Case Mod Friday, and we're back to our friends at GGF, and they have a really cool build. And what's interesting about this build is that most of the components are like you can just buy. So the case that this is a, I guess you would call us a test bench, but it's like I would call us more of a display bench because it's, I don't see people buying this to be a test bench.
You're not swapping anything out of this one.
Yeah. So this is by, I don't know how to say their name properly. I should have looked it up before we started the podcast. I think it's Bitsky.
Yeah. Bitsky.
Bitsky. They make water cooling components. They become a lot more popular, and they have cases or this display bench like this, which is pretty awesome. We don't see a whole lot of stuff like this, so they're doing a lot of really cool stuff. And this is their Cobra Navigator, which by itself is such a cool case, yeah. Like such a cool test bench. But GGF, in their typical style, has kind of outfitted this with water cooling. And Bitski actually makes the reservoir channel thing that he's using. They make that specifically for this. So you could basically buy, in any build, you can pretty much buy everything that they use. Yeah. But like, this is specifically made for that, which is really cool.
Yeah, we're starting to see a lot of these res panels, right? They're starting to pop out for a lot of, specifically for like an individual case, they're making these. So that's really interesting that we're getting that specific, and that, like, I guess the cases are carrying that many sales because these things aren't, they're really not usable in any other format other than the case that they're made for. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. In that res channel is also made by Bitski. So they've made it specifically for this. Mm-hmm. Great display bench, something that you would like want at a show. Again, I don't know how practical it would be for like an actual test bench, but I like that they're kind of going. I mean, just the bench itself is beautiful.
It's really just an open air case, like when it comes down to, because as it, like the term test bench, like, you know, that implies the open air case that you are swapping parts on in and out of to test. So that you're not doing that with something like this. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, really cool build, typical GGF style. And I mean, he didn't have to do all that much to make this great because it's, I mean, the case itself is a showpiece. Yeah. So yeah, definitely, check that build out. And he has a video as well, which is in our post. So definitely check all of that out. And, we'll move on to news. And the first thing, which we actually talked about way back at Computex time, and we weren't sure if they were actually going to become a thing, but ASRock Tai Chi graphics cards are going to be a thing. Some renders, I guess they're renders. I don't think they're actual photos. I'm pretty sure they're renders.
They're pretty good if they're renders, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think they're photos. Yeah. So photos of the Tai Chi RX 5700 XT has leaked, and I like it. I like the clockwork design on the back plate. For a first gen of like Tai Chi graphics card, mm-hmm. it's great. You're not going to see Tai Chi graphics card on the NVIDIA side because they're not an NVIDIA partner. But I like it. I think Tai Chi has always, at least in the motherboards, provided great value at a good price and like all the features that you want. And I think this card, it looks great. It should have, it's called the Tai Chi OC. So it should have a slight overclock on it. The center fan on the, it's a 3-fan cooler. The center fan has RGB lights around it, not actually in the fan, which I think is interesting.
That's fine. It's odd that they left them out of the other 2 fans though. I think that's gonna look. I think it's gonna look unbalanced in a build, but that's okay.
The other interesting thing about this card is that most cards like NVIDIA or AMD have 3 DisplayPort and 1 HDMI. That's like standard. But this card has 4 DisplayPort and 2 HDMI, which means like they might be targeting either people who want to run multiple displays. Yeah. Or VR gamers. So that's interesting. I think, I mean, at least you're getting more value out of this if that's what.
Yeah, more is better than less. You're gonna,
yeah. The card is slightly bigger than 2 slots. It looks about 2.5 slot card.
Pretty big card.
Yeah, pretty big card. But I think it looks good, and I would hope that it's priced accordingly, not a crazy bump over the reference design. We don't know yet. It should be out soon, but I think it looks good. I would want one of these in my system.
Yeah. Did we mention that it's goldish colored? I don't know if we did.
Yeah, so the shroud that's around the 3-fan cooling solution, sort of like the edges are like the gold we've seen for the 50th anniversary of AMD, mm-hmm. and then there's like an inner part that's black, and then the 2 outside fans are black, and I think they're like 90 millimeters, and then the center fan is clear and is smaller, probably 80. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it probably does a really good job of cooling. It is a massive heat sink on there. So.
Yeah, it's a big heat sink. So. So yeah. So, and like I said, I do like the clockwork design. It's just like it's always been cool on their stuff. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so check out the pictures. It we don't know when it's going to come out, but when it does, we'll definitely let you guys know. And talking about an oops or a mess up, Asus was listing the specifications for their new Prime X299 Edition 30 motherboard. That's their high-end desktop motherboard. And they accidentally put in a Core i9 10,000 series X series CPU. We've heard about these. There's been rumors about them, but nothing from Intel, obviously. But the big thing with this is they list it as giving you 48 lanes opposed to 44 lanes. That was the highest that we got on the last high-end desktop processors from Intel. So you are getting four more lanes, which is a good thing.
Always, yeah. Especially in high-end desktop. Still PCI Express 3.0, though. So
yeah. They're
slow lanes. But
they are relatively slow compared to 4.0.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Los Angeles freeway without the express lane. So, it's big, it's wide, but not very fast moving.
So. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what Intel does with this high-end desktop, because we're going to be talking about it just here in a second, what AMD is doing, and I think that I don't know if I agree with this. So it looks like for high-end desktop, you know, we've seen Ryzen 3000 series, and we've seen their server class stuff. And we've been waiting for Threadripper. It was delayed. We were supposed to see it. We haven't seen Threadripper yet. But it looks like there's going to be three chipsets for Threadripper. So you'll have a TRX 40, a TRX 80, and a WRX 80. Now, one, I'd like to say thank you for not confusing us anymore with the same names as Intel.
Yeah. Complete deviation.
Which is good.
Yes.
Now, the big interesting thing about this is, so TRX 40 and TRX 80, the TRX 40 is like more of a consumer mainstream. Like a
prosumer part?
Yeah, it's sort of like a prosumer thing. So, one, you're going to get 4-channel memory, not 8-channel memory on that.
And which makes sense for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's only going to support processors up to 32 cores.
Which also makes sense for a lot of people.
Yeah, and you'll get 64 lanes of PCI Express plus 16.
Okay.
And this is, again, going to compare, though they say it's going to compare to the Intel X299. And then
you think it would be better?
Well, yeah, it's like certain features, but like as far as...
Just competing, that's who they're targeting with that?
Yeah, okay. So that's who they're targeting with that one. Now, TRX 80 and WRX 80 will give you... You'll be able to run like the supposed 64-core Threadripper processors that will be coming out. You're going to get 8-channel memory, and you're going to get more than 64 lanes of PCI Express. And this is going to compete with like Intel C621. That's like that massive Asus board that we saw at CES. Now we don't know. They peg TRX 40 and TRX 80 as high end desktop, where they peg WRX 80 as workstation. We don't know what's going to make something what the real difference between TRX 80 and WRX 80. People are saying that TRX 80 will be like your typical high-end desktop boards from like Asus and all of that, whereas WRX 80 is like full workstation, like the SSI form factor, like made socket? By like, I don't know.
I don't think you can do a dual socket Threadripper though, can you?
Yeah, I don't know. And I honestly don't understand why they're doing this.
Well, it's sort of like when Intel came out with their multiple high-end desktop like regions, right? Like we were just as baffled then. Like
I just don't understand, besides people who are like crazy overclockers for like events.
Yeah.
And like some YouTubers have got like those C621 boards. Like, who is using those? Because you're better suited in a workstation environment to use like a dual CPU Xeon at actual the same workstation price. Yeah. So like, I just don't see, as far as like sales, like why they're doing it. Again, maybe they're doing it to say, okay, you know, you're looking at the C621, like we have this or something. I don't know.
More of a brag again, than like an actual like part they want to sell.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, it's going to be really curious to see the parts and like what the parts won't work with one, but they'll work with the other.
Yeah, so if they do release,
you know,
if they do release a 64 core CPU, a Threadripper part, it's not going to work on TRX 40.
No, but it'll work on 80.
Mm-hmm.
But then what do you need? What features could the workstation board possibly have?
Well, instead of 4-channel memory, it has 8-channel memory.
But so does TRX 80.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like, I don't understand the difference between TRX 80 and WRX 80. I don't know. It's just confusing.
I just don't see what they can give it that wouldn't be available on their TRX 80. If all the things listed, what things exist that are not listed that they would put on a workstation board?
Yeah.
Different memory compatibility? So it's
kind of, it could be.
I mean, you can use server memory probably for sure, right?
Yeah.
Or you would, yeah,
I don't know. You would think you would be able to use.
But you'd almost want to be say you'd be able to use that on their TRX 80 too. I will see, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I will see what the big difference is between the chipsets.
I think
the big difference, obviously, is TRX 40 versus TRX 80. Yeah. Processor compatibility as well as memory and the lanes. So you're going to get more lanes with TRX 80 and WRX 80 versus TRX 40.
Yeah, and I agree with that, actually. Although the line between the high-end X570 parts and what will be the TRX 40 parts is going to be fairly close as far as, like, truly as a home user, like, not as a professional. Whether you actually need that step up to the Threadripper part is going to be, like, kind of questionable. But I do see the, like, it's a big, in the end, like, a lot of people for cost savings and stuff, 4-channel memory is just fine. You don't need that much for what you're doing, and you're just leaving open slots anyway, stuff like that. So I see there being a point to that part. It's just the lanes help
too. Yeah. So we'll see. It's interesting. I just thank AMD for naming it something different.
Yeah, almost got this like, one memorized seriously. Already.
Yeah, I know TRX. It's like you don't. That's you easy. Know.
Is it a 40? Is it an 80? Or is it the World Rally version?
I know, the WRX. talking about AMD and Ryzen processors, we talked about it on the last podcast about Silicon Lottery saying that only a certain amount, which was I think 6%, would hit, or would be able to be overclocked and hit their speeds. And
well, that was to hit 4.5. It was beyond their stack clock. It was all cores at 4.5, I believe.
Yes. And now DeBauer, which you should know if you don't, he's a very famous overclocker. And a
very reliable source of information too.
Yes. And he's put out a video going over Ryzen processors and what they're actually able to hit with their boost clock. And, you know, AMD doesn't make it known what you need to actually hit the boost clock. In all honesty, like before, all processors would always hit their boost clock. They would always boost up to what
they were. It was an advertised speed, right?
Yeah, it's an advertised speed. It would always do it. Now, technically, these processors will hit that boost clock, but it's only at certain... You got to have the best, you know, good cooling. Like
Oh, really?
It's really weird. And he found out that not many of these processors are actually hitting their advertised speeds, especially the Ryzen 9 3900X. It only hits its advertising boost speeds 5.6% of the time, and I can actually vouch for that because in our testing, it only hits around 4.15, 4.2 in most of our testing, putting full load on
it. Never boosted all the way.
Yeah, that's with $100 air cooler, like a Noctua.
Which is about the same as a $100 AIO, so.
Yeah, yeah. And then he found out, like, the Ryzen 5 3600 hit it about half of the time. And I think you pointed this out, or you might have, I believe you said it a few podcasts ago. It's like, AMD put so much into these, like, they crammed as much performance out of these, is like, you can't get much more, right?
Right.
Like, not that you're not talking about overclocking, but even boosting on a few cores, like, it's just, it's a lot for that processor, I think.
Well, there's so many, yeah, there's so many cores in such a small piece of silicon. Like, there's only so much energy you can run through it, through silicon right now, right? We're really running at the limit of what silicon can do, so... Yeah, you're only going to get so much out of it because they've amped up the core count, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I guess, like I said, I mean, for most people, it's not a massive deal. But I think that, you know, when you're paying for a processor, I think 3900X is 4.4 that it should boost to. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd want it to boost to that. And we're going to talk about it here in a second. But, I mean, this could be like a lawsuit.
That was my thought, yeah.
Like, that just brings us to our next story, which AMD finally settled on their lawsuit from 2015 over their Bulldozer core count class action lawsuit. So they advertised their Bulldozer CPUs as a true 8-core CPU when in fact it wasn't. So they agreed on a class action settlement of $12.1 million or $35 per chip sold. So you can sign up for it to be part of the class. You have to have bought the 8-core and you have to be in the US.
No. Okay.
To be part of the class. But if you do, you can sign up and get $35.
It's just like just like the 970 debacle, $35.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And like I said, I mean, with these Ryzen 3000 series parts not hitting their advertised speeds, I mean, people make a big deal over a lot of things. So, I mean, this could be one of
people them. People like to get what they pay for. They really don't like being lied to. So.
Yes.
That's kind of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that AMD is kind of setting themselves up here, especially with the way that they've shifted their pricing with the boards and the parts are getting more expensive. You're not going to get like the benefit. I mean, as a company, you're rarely going to get the benefit of the doubt as it is. And now like they're kind of turning themselves they're kind of getting a little greedier. And so people are going to be even less willing to like forgive something like this doesn't actually boost, you know?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, too, is, like, yeah, like, you're right. Like, the boards are more expensive. Like, the platform in general is more expensive. Mm-hmm. And when it's not doing what it should be doing, people aren't going to be happy.
People file lawsuits. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah, they do, and they have ways to... I mean... We've seen two instances in the last two podcasts where like companies have said that these processors don't do what they're technically supposed to do.
Yeah, and they'll be able to argue. Well, sure they do if you provide the correct cooling. So then it'll be a matter of like, was that demonstrated to the customer that they had to have specific cooling? And I mean, maybe they'll be able to because they've told us all along since they launched Ryzen that it does certain things with certain cooling under certain conditions and otherwise it won't. Actually been a major feature is the way that it boosts. So, I mean, maybe they'll be able to argue that in court, but the bottom line is that regardless of whether they have to pay out cash for this, they're hurting their reputation and that's something they can't really afford to do, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there was like the hype machine of Ryzen 3000, and like honestly, we were on the hype machine. Like X570 motherboards are awesome in my opinion. Mm-hmm. PCI Express 4.0, awesome. The processors for the price are great value, I think.
Yeah,
even if it's not specifically boosting, you know what I mean? Especially compared to current gen Intel parts and everything. Like I think it's a good value for what you're getting. But now all these stories are coming out, and like not necessarily saying like the truth is coming out, but like the actual
the actual facts
and like
yeah,
like you know are coming out now since all of these processors are in the wild now and we're seeing everything. So it's interesting, and I think we'll see what you know what transpires over the next you know 3 to 6 months with people finding all this stuff out and everything like that. So.
Mm-hmm. They didn't pull away kind of how Ryzen 3 didn't really pull away how we figured it would as far as performance is concerned, especially per core. I mean, it lost the per core, right? It's not holding.
Yeah,
it, so.
when it comes to gaming, it's still beaten out by Intel. It just is.
Yeah.
Now they've made strides to make things better, and if you look at a 2700X compared to a 3700X, yeah, there's a difference. I mean, there's a difference in single core performance. There is. So
it just kind of,
yeah, like,
I think it's just shattered the illusion that AMD is onto, like, that they kind of had presented as reinventing the wheel, especially for themselves, and that they were on this new thing and that Intel couldn't touch them and that it was something different. And then I think that the way that they couldn't take the per course, you know, the ICC speed, it's kind of like broken that illusion that they've been presenting as something new. And it's like, oh, this is kind of the same old, they've just done a better job of it.
And the thing is, you have to realize too, is like, this is the third gen of Ryzen. Like, obviously you had that massive IPC increase over what Bulldozer, right?
Right.
You know, so
yeah, but it didn't take much.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it didn't take much to do that. So yeah, like I said, we'll see how it goes over the next, like I said, 3 to 6 months, and how the reputation, I guess, of AMD mm-hmm. and of Ryzen processors go and everything like that. And like I said, we do know Intel should be coming out with a 10 core part soon.
Yes, 14 plus.
Yes, the multiple pluses. So yeah. So also this past week, Lee and Lee announced a new version of their O11 Dynamic. If you don't know what case that is, it's probably one of the most popular cases of last year. It's just a great case to show off hardware.
Yeah.
Great case to do water cooling build. And they announced a new XL ROG version. It's bigger. It's ROG certified. It's an awesome case. Yeah, I don't know what that is, honestly.
Means that the LEDs work with it?
Yeah. But it's just an awesome case.
Yeah.
Bigger means, especially for this case, like bigger means more, like more crazy water cooling
more
bills.
More radiator space, mostly.
Yeah. All that stuff. It's just... I want one.
Yeah.
It's just a great case to show off hardware. We saw it in so many builds last year for Case Mod Friday. We saw it in so many builds at CES. We've seen it in just everybody's using this case because it's just that good.
Yep.
And it's engineered right. It's just awesome. Just an awesome case.
Yeah, they definitely, I mean, they work, we just talked about Der Bauer. They worked with Der Bauer, so like, they've definitely talked to the right people when it comes to what this case needs, and I think they've delivered well with that. The only thing I have to say about it is that I don't think it presents well without parts in it. It looks chunky.
I agree.
But I can guarantee you, once you fill this thing with components, it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's gonna look really, really good when you put stuff in it, but. But yeah, so with that, Lian Li also worked with EK to make a custom distro plate, which we've seen a couple of companies, even EK, I think, made one for the original. Or no, maybe they didn't. I think that was Fantex. It was Bitsky. And Fantex might have as well.
Yeah.
But they've worked with EK to make a DistroPlate specifically for this case and their original. It will fit the original as well. Nice. I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, you have all your stuff ready to go if you want to do a water cooling build in this now.
Yeah.
You have the DistroPlate. And of course, everybody's going to make all the other hardware you need if you didn't want to go with EK for your other, you know, parts of your water cooling build. But it's just awesome. It's awesome to see this launched basically a day after the case launched. So if you were thinking, oh, this new case, you know, I want to do a custom build on this, I'm looking for parts, like, you have something already ready, which is great, which I think is good for builders and things like that. The DistroPlate, how much is it? It's $200.
That's a lot.
Is that a lot?
It's a lot for what is a reservoir. I'm not saying that there's not a lot. There's a phenomenal amount of engineering that goes into this. This is something that you can screw up pretty phenomenally as a company. If you don't manufacture this correctly, this can destroy a computer pretty quickly. Because there's so much surface area for it to leak through. It's like a blown up version of a graphics card, right? Like, it could leak out of anywhere, that thing. But I would trust EK 100% with this. I think going with EK was a great idea for Landley. There's not many builders I would have said that about. But I think that it's still a lot of money for a reservoir. I mean, you can get a reservoir for as little as $20. An average amount would probably be like, I don't know, 60 to 80. So to say 200, you got to really want that showpiece, I guess.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that it fits the case perfectly.
Right, yeah.
So no modification necessary, I guess, is the selling point. And, like, that's why you pay the $200 for it.
Sure, yeah, right? Yeah, definitely.
So you don't have to modify the case at all. So I think it looks great, but as Derek said, it's kind of high price, and I think that EK is the... I guess you would say EK is the razor of the water cooling world.
Well, yeah, and Landley isn't a cheap company to purchase from either. They're not known for like bargain parts. Like, they make good stuff, so it only makes sense to me that this would be an expensive part, I guess. And to have EK involved as well, you know, that's going to drive up the cost. So they do sort of run the market when it comes to water cooling. I know that, like, others would argue, but I think that's probably the case.
Yeah, so if you're looking to do a water cooling build, you should be ready to go.
Does it come with a pump? It does come with a pump. Maybe.
It does? Okay.
They're showing a pump. Let's see. Because if it comes with a pump, they're quoting the pump in the technical data.
Okay.
Yeah, with it's got a DDC 3.1 pump in it. Okay, that...
Oh, I see it now.
That actually explains it quite a bit. Yeah, all the way at the bottom of their page. It mounts to the back of the reservoir, the block. That makes a lot more sense, actually, as far as cost is concerned. Okay. That's actually probably pretty much worth it. It is a pretty fancy reservoir, so you're going to pay for that, and you're cutting out the cost of having to buy a pump, which, you know, that could be $100. So it's not a $100 pump, but, you know, you could spend $100 on a pump.
Awesome. Now I want to do a build like this, even though I can't do... I've never done water cooling before. It just looks so good. I love... Like, if you go to the Lee and Lee page, they have, like, some builds already in the case with it, and it just looks awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely worth clicking on the link and checking that out in the finalized product.
Yeah.
You'll see what we mean by that case, too. It just... Once you get the RGBs in there, all that glass just lights right up. It looks awesome.
Yeah, so our last piece of news is gaming news, and one of the most anticipated games of this year is coming out in exactly 2 weeks. I believe it comes out on the 17th, is Borderlands 3, which I think I'm going to get. I haven't had a lot of time to play games, but I want this game, and I think I'll really enjoy playing it. So they released their minimum and recommended specs for the game, so if you're looking to get the game, make sure you be able to play it. Minimum is recommended for 1080p gaming. Going through it really quickly, you either want an AMD FX 8350 or an Intel i5-3570, 6 gigabytes of RAM, a HD 7970 or GTX 680 as far as graphics, and 75 gigabytes of hard drive space. which is a lot for a game.
It's up there.
We've seen like over 100.
Yeah, for bigger games.
And then the recommended specs, which is for 1440p, Ryzen 5 2600 or an i7-4770, 16 gigabytes of memory, and an Radeon RX 590 or GTX 1060, same 75 gigabytes, obviously, of hard drive space. So, and they actually released all of like the graphics settings that you'll be able to change, which is kind of nice. Like, because you get games and sometimes they're just ports and they're badly done. Yeah. And they don't give you like all of the graphics settings as a PC user that like you should have.
Yeah. It's like graphics set to low, medium, or high.
And like that's it. Like that's all you get. So they released all the graphics settings, which we have in the post too, if you want to take a look at those. But yeah, I think I'll probably get it. I like Borderlands, so we'll see. But you will have to get it on the Epic Games Store, as that was the big thing earlier this year when it was announced. So that brings us to the end of our news. And what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at the Corsair Carbide Series 678C. This is a big case. It's made to be a silent case. It's kind of like a Fractal Design case almost, designed almost the same. So we'll see how that does, see if it's worth the $200 price point. It's a lot. It has a lot of storage space, a lot of 3.5 inch drive storage space. So if you're like if you're somebody who has like crazy storage, which there are a lot of people, that's why they make these cases. And that's why Be Quiet and Fractal Design have those cases. There's a lot of storage space in this and everything like that. So I'll have that for you. And then I'll also be taking a look at ASRock's Z390 Phantom Gaming X. So it's pretty late in the game for a Z390 board, but ASRock kind of redesigned their high-end Phantom Gaming board for Z390, kind of like the same design that we saw in their X570, which is great. And like the whole big integrated heatsink that's the entire bottom of the board, RGB lighting. They have added some new features. This board has Wi-Fi. I think it's Wi-Fi 6. I didn't even look. But they've added, like, you know, we're kind of matured into Z390 and some of the features on the launch boards aren't there. So they've kind of added them, like you're getting USB 3.2 Gen 2, and I believe it's Wi-Fi 6 on this board too. Yeah, you're getting Wi-Fi 6 on this too. So some of the features that weren't available when Z390 launched, you're getting now, plus an updated look, which I think looks great on this board. So I'll be able to tell you guys more about that next week. So,
interestingly, two comments on this. They list Quad SLI in the product sheet. It only has 3 PCI Express ports, but okay. Apparently you can run quad off the 3.
When was the last dual GPU card?
Oh, I don't know. I guess that would count, but that'll a dual GPU card will work in X570 though. Like it's not recognized as individual cards when you install a dual card GPU. So I don't know, that's probably just a typo, but I thought that was funny. And now I forgot what else I was going to point out about it.
The second point.
I was going to say that at least, you know, you should be able to use this for the new Ryzen or the new Intel parts, the 14++++, but you won't because they're changing the pinout.
So
this really isn't going to have a very long shelf life, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you wanted to get a 9900K, this would be the board to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's still a lot of people buying that stuff.
Probably.
You know, because, like, we talked about this. Like, I'm not going to buy a 10 series Intel part with supposedly 10 nanometer coming the next year, like, which should bring great performance. Just like when we saw, what was it, the 4770 to I forget when we went, like when they added the more cores in and the performance difference was like crazy
when Ryzen came out,
you know. Yeah basically.
I think that was 8,000 or was it 7,000?
I don't remember. I think it was 8,000.
Because the 4790 was still a quad core with hyper threading. Yeah, yeah. So
I think like 7700K came out and it was quad core. And then the 6 core was the 87.
I think you're right.
I could be wrong. I might be wrong. I'm not sure. But in any case,
I just do this Google thing.
Yeah, like why would you buy 10th gen or even 9th gen when you know something very, like, especially if this is like not a first build, like you actually have a computer that works.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a hard sell. But the board looks great.
Yeah, I think. I mean, if you're buying now, it's nice to have something that's brand new to buy versus something that's been out. I just hope I was gonna say it might be at a price premium, but probably not with ASRock. They're pretty price conscious, so it'll probably be a decent price.
And you're getting a lot of, like, this is like their high end gaming board, so you're getting like 2.5 gig LAN, again Wi-Fi 6, USB 3.2 Gen 2, triple M.2 slots, which are full bandwidth, even though they're PCI Express 3. integrated IO shield again, which I love. You know,
just a fully decked out board. It's just it's just about to be a generation old in half a year.
I think what happened was, one, they've been selling the same Z390 boards, and two, they came out with that design for their X570 and they're like, damn, this would look really good on an Intel board, and they just did it, and it does look good. It looks great.
It really does.
Yeah, so that's what we will have for you guys next week, and brings us to the end here. We talk about if we watched anything or we took a look at any tech stuff or did anything tech nerd related. Did you do anything?
Nothing new. I finished watching Second Life or Next Life? That sci-fi show on Netflix.
It got kind of weird at the end, huh?
It got real weird. It's like, not Second Life. That was that game.
Another Life. Another Life.
It's super interesting, and then it just kind of like keeps getting weird and like.
And I think whoever the guy is, I forget his name, the actor. He just overacts it. I feel
the AI.
No. The guy who...
Oh, the husband?
He overacts it.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. I think he's a great actor, but he just, like, he's too intense for, like, the scene,
I agree. Feel. Yeah.
At least in my opinion. Yeah.
And so to me, it got really, really weird, but then it also, like, didn't, like, stay down those super weird paths. It tried to bring it back to normal, and that made it, like, even more weird somehow. it got different. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a cool sci-fi thing, but I don't feel like I need to see another season necessarily. I don't know what I know where they're going with it, and I don't know if I care.
I'm trying to think if I've been. I haven't really watched anything like sci-fi, like nothing. Nothing. I watched a new movie, but I forget what it was. I can't even think about it. I can't even.
I didn't watch remember what it was. I've started rewatching some Star Wars because.
I always do that. I watched a documentary on Netflix, or I think it's on Amazon. It's older. It's like, it probably came out in 2005 or 2006, but it was about Star Wars and the movies and how Lucasfilm created like all of those effects that you see.
Dude, Lucasfilm,
like, none of that stuff exists.
Lucasfilm is actually like responsible for so much as far as movie effects go and technology is concerned.
I forget what it's called, but it's I believe it's on Amazon, because I was like bored of Netflix and I was looking on Amazon. And it was so cool to see how they did the effects and how they basically created all of that stuff. And it was like in a big warehouse where they had to figure out how to do this stuff. So that, I think that's really cool. That's the only thing I've really watched or done.
Empire of Dreams. Anything.
That might be it. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah, I think I've seen that once at some point. But yeah, because we just had D23, so we saw all the new stuff that's coming out. Trailers for stuff. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah. E3, Gamescom, What's next? I don't even know what the next big thing is.
Next new game line?
I don't know. CES is coming eventually.
Sooner than later.
Yeah, sooner than later. So we will go ahead and end things here, guys. As always, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting website or app. So until next time, catch you guys later.